this in these kids' hearts. And so the week before, we did one in Bishop. So we did 2 full weeks of VBS in the Eastern Sierras, and we reached, between both of them, we reached well over 100 kids for Jesus. And come on. The enemy is turning it up, and so the church needs to turn it up a little hotter. And we just love these kids. We love what the Lord's doing in their lives. And it was just such a beautiful 2 weeks. And thank you again for everybody that volunteered. The best is yet to come. Amen. So I just want to tell you a couple quick things. Jamie, where are you at? Do you want to tell us about the raffle? So we got an amazing raffle going on. Thank you to Rena. Where's Rena? Wave your arm. We did an amazing pancake. Everybody enjoy those pancakes? Come on. Car wash, 22nd at the Lighthouse. What time? 9 to noon. Be there. Support our kids. It's awesome. But thank you. Rena, you did fantastic. Beautiful. Pancakes were incredible. And so there's some really good stuff going on. And I want to let you know about this exciting raffle and an exciting, amazing motorcycle.
Okay, yeah. All right, yeah, we're doing a raffle fundraiser for the co-op, for the school here, to get those portable classrooms back there over here and that whole project. So we, Richard brought us a 2010 Harley-Davidson Sportster 48. So awesome. It's beautiful. Yes. And so that's one of the raffles. So there's raffle tickets specifically for the motorcycle. Those are $25 a ticket. Or if you buy more tickets, you get a little discount on there. So then we have another raffle going on that has, let's see, a Mountain Twin Jones split board, a VIP table at the Tri-County Fair, the Friday night concert for Chris Jansen, a GoPro, some goggles, chiropractor adjustment, and some other therapy session. Anyway, so all of those are $5 a ticket. If you would like to purchase tickets, you can come see me after the service today. And then we're also selling them at the parade in Mammoth on 4th of July in front of Lighthouse. We'll have a table out there. And then we're going to draw the winners next Sunday after church. But you do not have to be present to win. But if you want to be here, great. I did. Yep, I did that at the beginning. Yep. All right.
Come on. Thank you. And all the proceeds are going towards our modular project. We want to build onto the school and get those big pieces of, not metal, but those big buildings over there. We want to turn them into something useful and not a hazard to our community. So, and speaking of the modulars, I just wanted to give you a heads up that Derek is doing better. He was released from the hospital. Praise the Lord. He's home. So that's amazing. You know, I was talking to somebody from Edison, and they were amazed that he's alive. So and not that he's not just alive, but that he doesn't have tons of damage to internal organs. I mean, it's a real miracle. And so we just need to continue to pray for them, for the road up ahead. And just pray for safety, protection, grace over the kids, grace over his life, no infections. And so why don't we just pray right now. Father, thank you for Derek, the Johnson family. Thank you for their kids. And we just pray grace over them. We release grace, fresh grace in Jesus' name. And I just come against all forms of trauma in his own heart, in his own life. Lord, I bind up that spirit of fear and trauma that would try to hijack him, and I bind it up off of his wife and off of his kids. Lord, we release healing and protection and grace. Lord, that this would be the greatest season of their life as a family. God, you will restore everything that the enemy has stolen from them 100-fold in the name of Jesus. And we just bless them and cover them in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. So yeah, buy raffle tickets afterwards, and I'm excited. I'm so excited for today. It was already a beautiful morning of worship, and we're going to have an amazing word. But tonight, say tonight. We usually have a 4 p.m. service in Bishop, our Church of the Mountain little sister church, your little sister church. You know, we birthed that down there together. This isn't a Mike thing. This is an us thing. It's your church down there. And so that your little church is not happening tonight. We're doing church at Whiskey Creek. Come on. We're going to have a good old time. And we're going to eat, get some Thai food. I love, they got really good Thai food. So I'm going to get some chicken Penang. And we were just, so come, go there at 6 and we'll all eat together on the back patio. We reserved the whole back patio. Could seat a little over 100 people. And we'll eat together. Everybody has to pay for their own food. But then at 7 o'clock, we're having a free concert by our very own David Brimer. It's going to be stories and songs. And he's going to, it's all original music. And he's just going to take us into the courts of heaven. But he's going to share the stories on how the Lord, kind of what he was doing with the song that he wrote today. And so tell you kind of how it came about. It's going to be a beautiful time. So there's a lot of people from Bishop and this area that are super excited. So I'd encourage you to come early, get a seat, and come on. It's going to be awesome. Worshiping right in the heart of Bishop. Come on. It's going to be so good. So that's 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, eat. Let's fellowship. Eat together. 7 o'clock, worship. Look at your neighbor and say, be there. Amen. 6 to eat, 7 to worship. Well, I'm so excited to, I get to, I love these two, David and Sahar. We love them. Heather and I love them the moment we met them. And I know I say I love a lot of people and I love a lot of food, but I love a lot of movies. We use that word as Americans so casually. I love, but I really do. I just have the utmost respect for you guys and they're dear friends. We really love them. And it was an instant connection when we met with them. And we Zoom them all the time. And we Facebook, and not Facebook, FaceTime. And we just love them. They're authentic, real people. And carrying a message from heaven. And so that last song, some of you don't know who he is. But the last song, Worthy of It All, is sung literally all over the world. In different nations of the world. And that was birthed out of this man's heart. And plus many, many, many other songs. But you are going to be so blessed this morning. Our friend, our brother, I'm just going to call you our family member. David is going to bring the word. So would you give a warm welcome to David?
Thank you. Wow. Did I hear someone say move here? Good morning. Could I have a touch more on this microphone? Because I hold it down here typically. Mike holds it right here, which is better for it. Thank you so much. All right. Well, I'm going to lift a prayer to the Lord. And then share just whatever the Lord is wanting to share with y'all this morning. So, I didn't forget. So, we moved yesterday. So, literally, we were moving this whole last week up until 4:30 p.m. yesterday. And then, every bone in our... every muscle in our body is sore. We were like, we did it all ourselves. We like lifted all this stuff. And so then we drove from there to here last night. So anyways, I don't have my Bible. I kind of went on a little bunny trail to let you know I don't have my Bible. But I do on my phone. So, okay. Let me find Isaiah. There we go. All right. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this church, Church on the Mountain. Thank you for this precious community of believers, Lord, that gather every week to worship, to fellowship, to encourage one another, to invest and train the next generation, and to do the works of the kingdom in their sphere of influence. And I thank you for your dear, how dear they are to you, Lord, how much you love them. And Lord, I ask you that your word would come forth this morning, and that what is from your heart would be heard and revealed and bring change, bring real change in the heart, and that it would encourage and strengthen, because that's what your word does. And it divides soul and spirit down even between bones and marrow. Lord, your word judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's clean. It is pure. It endures forever. Your word is life. Your word is truth. And I thank you for the solid rock on which we stand. But Lord, I ask that instead of us standing over and looking at your word would look and see our hearts, and you would, your word would be the light that shines in our hearts, and you would give light to our heart this morning. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While all the kids were standing up here, I had a fun flashback to when, I can't remember which time it was being with you guys. It might have been the first time. Well, I don't know if I spoke the first time. I think I might have just led worship. But the time that I did speak, the Lord had put on my heart a message about from Malachi about turning the father's hearts to the children and the children to the fathers. I don't know if y'all remember that, those who were here. But it's just so encouraging to see that happening in the midst here. And I just want to affirm that, that y'all, not that that was the catalyst, but the word that I really felt for this community, that there was an invitation to do that, and to just see it happening just brings great joy to the Father, brings great joy to my heart, and I believe you're going to see the fruits of your labor, and there's going to be a powerful return on that investment, whether it's immediately seen or not. And so I just want to affirm and commend y'all for taking the time out of your schedule to volunteer, to do what it takes to put yourself before the next generation. When they have 9 to 10 hours of screen time a day, that's the average for this generation. And so these are the real teachers of this generation. Am I right? It's true. But who's going to stand before them and say, there's another way? There's someone who loves you in heaven, who cares about you, who's got a plan for your life. In flesh and blood, not just through a screen, who's going to come and be there in person? That's what Jesus did. He didn't speak from heaven, from the removed dimension of heaven, and shout to all the earth the way. He came in the flesh. He embodied the word that he spoke. And that is, that's what it means to preach the word. It's not just a voice. It is the embodiment of that word. And that's what it is to preach to the next generation, to give to the next generation. So again, I commend that. And I just want to pray a blessing that this place would be a training center for the next generation. And it would be a catching and a holding place that is preserves and empowers and is like a safe haven for children who've been through a lot and who are broken, and that there would be a support structure here in Jesus' name. Amen. May it be done. Woo! Well, this time, I'm going to, my first text that I'll start from is, it's in Isaiah 61. And it's probably a familiar passage to you guys. I was alerted to it by a little gift that we got at the Geringer's house. Gia, y'all know little Gia, she wrote little messages to her whole family, including Sahar and I, to welcome us when we landed at their house last night, and they made dinner for us, and she had put placemats. That's what it is. You know when you have your name in front of you to know where you sit? So she, say it again? A place card. There you go, a place card. So she wrote David, Uncle David, and then Aunt Sahar is really sweet, and she drew a little thing. And on the back, she had written a prophetic word, you know. Isn't that sweet? So she's special. She's so special. So anyways, I flipped it over, and I was like, it was so special because word was very simple, and it said, God has anointed you. And right, that is sweet. It could be sweet or generic, all that, but it had carried weight for me because the life verse for me and the verse that the Lord has been speaking to me in this transition from the comfort or safety of where we were ministering before, but into this next season, the catalyst for that was Isaiah 61. And it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. And you all know the next part, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Isn't that beautiful? Wow, what a verse. What a passage. Oh, I just get chills reading it. And the reason that it's special to me, one of the reasons, was last year in the spring, I was at my kitchen table. I was reading Isaiah 61, and the Lord reminded me and said, He had reminded me of a story that a well-known prophet, he passed away a few years ago, but he had a very unique experience at his death. Or his mom's death. Sorry, I'm kind of getting the story wrong. So his mom had told him, I have one final word for you and for this next generation before she was going to pass. She had a miracle life. She was diagnosed with 5 terminal diseases, couldn't have children. The Lord miraculously healed her. And this was at the age of 40. The Lord miraculously healed her, and he told her, I will give you a son. And he will be a prophet to the nation. So the Lord heals her of all 5 terminal diseases, gives her a son. His name was Paul Cain. You fast forward to the end of, she lived to be 105. Perfect eyesight all the way to the end. Perfect health. Isn't that incredible? 5 terminal diseases and what was it? Like cancer on her ovaries, everything. The Lord completely healed her. So anyways, but the important part was she felt from the Lord that she had a word for this next generation. And so she went into a coma in her last days. And so Paul Cain and Mike Bickle, he was in the room as well. They were just waiting there praying and asking the Lord to, bring her back. Well, he brought her back for 1 minute. And she came out of the coma. She motioned for Paul. He came over. She whispered in his ear. And she went back into a coma, and Mike was like, what did she say? And she said was Luke 4:18. And he said, that was it? And she said, yeah. She said, okay. And they heard the monitor, boop, and she went to be with the Lord. Well, Mike happened to look at the clock, and it was 4:18. And then a couple days later, they realized she had passed away on 4:18. So you can't plan the moment of your death, So that's a definite sign from the Lord that for this next generation, Luke 4:18 was very significant. And you know what that passage is? It's when Jesus unrolls the scroll from Isaiah. And guess what verse he picks? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Isn't that powerful? So that verse is not just for me, it is for you. And I felt that this morning, that the Lord wanted to give y'all permission to preach the good news. And this good news is waiting to be spoken. It's waiting to be preached. And the Lord is looking for those who will know and understand, like Isaiah, who will go for us? Who will send? Who will we send? And he says, here I am, Lord, send me. What does the angel do? The angel takes a coal from the altar, puts it on his lips. That was the empowering, the fire of the Holy Spirit to speak, to declare, to make known the goodness of God, the mystery of God, the good news of God, the good news of the kingdom. There's a supernatural empowering coming to those who want to speak the good news. And this generation needs good news. You know that. I know that. Every generation has needed good news. And that good news has made its way through the dark ages, through the Renaissance, through the Christian persecution back under Nero, through all of the earthquakes and famines. That good news has made its way and found me and changed my life and given me the power to speak it and to preach it and to sing it and to make known among the nations what he has done. And that is the commission of every believer. It doesn't look the same for every believer. For some of us, it's at our 9 to 5. For some of us, it's on the weekends. For some of us, it's at home. And what it looks like is not the point. Because a lot of times we relegate it to, oh, the pastor's the guy who's going to speak the good news. He's the one who shares the gospel. And we let him do that. He'll preach the gospel. We'll kind of look around and see if there's any new people, you know, that are here that haven't heard the gospel, and the pastor speaks it. But no, this word is for all believers. It was first on Jesus as the firstborn, as the first fruits. And that when he was died, when he died and was buried and then raised to life, we were raised to life with him. He's the first fruits of many. And all that was upon him as the Son of God, the Son of Man, the commission from the Father, make known the good news. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. You remember the baptism, right? When John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, the humility of him to be baptized by a man. He comes up out of the water. And what happens? The Spirit, like a dove, lightens, descends on him, right? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him. And the voice from heaven says, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And I felt this was two messages this morning. The one message was this Isaiah 61, and the other message was the belovedness that you have to the Father. You guys are very beloved to the Father. And I felt the love of the Father towards you today, and that you are very dear to him and very loved, very embraced, that his eyes are towards you, that you have a purpose and a plan in his heart, and that nothing, neither heaven nor hell, angels or demons, the present, the future, nothing can separate you from this love. And I felt his love for you, the same love that when the Father says, this is my beloved Son, In him I am well pleased. For all who are found in Christ, those words echo over your life. So when we receive Jesus and we say, I'm going to be hidden in Christ. I am yours and you are mine. I'm no longer my own. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I've received you into my heart. And your life is my life now. When that happens, all of God's love that he turned towards the Son is now yours. And you have the full weight of the Father's love on your life. In acceptance, delight, and empowerment to do what Jesus did. And Jesus signaled the start of his ministry with this verse. We have to understand this is the message for all of us. And I want to read about the impact of saying yes to this, to see what happens when we say yes to this. Because it's not about, the power doesn't come from us, right? It's not, I'm not up here with a special gift or a special power. The power comes from the Word of God. Whatever is from him brings life. Whatever's not, it brings death, right?
Yes.
He has sent me, first it says, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and your vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. So good. For I, the Lord, I love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All of them will acknowledge and that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and as a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. So this is y'all's passage. And Mike can't do it all. He didn't even know I was going to say this. But I feel an empowering this morning for those of you who have wanted to, you felt something bubbling up and you've wanted to share. You've wanted to be free. You know, a lot of times I think we hold back because of fear of what the other person's going to say, what they're going to do. The prophets of old felt like that. Jeremiah, I believe it was Jeremiah, the Lord said, I'm going to make, or maybe it was Isaiah, I'm going to make your forehead like flint. don't be, and it says, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid. And even Jeremiah, remember when he started out? He said, I'm only a child. Like he was a youngster. And the Lord said, don't say you're only a child. It's funny, he rebuked him. He's like, don't say, I've put my words in your mouth. I've given you the ability to uproot and to tear down, to build and to plant. There's two things happening. When we speak the word of the Lord, it tears down what needs to be torn down. Religious strongholds, strongholds of the mind, resistance to the gospel, all those things that we encounter when we share the truth in love. We're going to get resistance and opposition. It's just the way of following Jesus. It's true. But also, in that tearing down, there's a building and a planting of something new. And none of us need to be afraid, because we are empowered with all of heaven. Remember when Jesus said he was there in his last days, and he said, don't you know I could have called, 10,000 legions of angels and they would have been there to help me? He had angelic help waiting at his disposal. Now, go back to Psalm 91. Remember when it says, The Lord will not let your foot slip, for I will cause my angels to watch over you, so you will not let your foot hit against a stone. Sorry. What is that speaking to? Angelic protection and help for the road ahead, for the journey. And I think we kind of relegate angels to kind of, there's only certain people that like to talk about angels or think about angels. They are here and ready to empower you to do God's will. They are angelic help. It says after Jesus was tested in the wilderness, it says angels came to him and strengthened him. Jesus, as the Son of Man, the Son of God who ruled over the angels, needed that angelic help and strength to do God's will. And so I just believe, I did not plan on speaking about angels. As the Lord brought this to mind, I believe that the Lord is letting you know in this congregation, there is angelic help. Amen. To accomplish this word. In the way that you have said yes to investing in the next generation, there's a new commissioning to speak the word of the Lord with authority and boldness on a one-on-one basis, in the park, singing the gospel basis, on a sharing the gospel with a coworker basis, on a mom sitting down with their five-year-old and reading a Bible story and praying over them basis. That is the gospel. That is the good news. It takes a lot of forms, but you are commissioned to speak the good news. And there is angelic help there for you, waiting. And the Lord is pleased with you. I'm going to come back to that. The Lord is pleased with you. The Lord is delighted to be your God and to give you help for the journey ahead. And I believe this congregation has experience. I see it like an accordion. There's like a expanding and a contraction. There's a, when things get thin, then there's a lot all at once. And there's kind of a back and forth and back and forth. But the Lord is letting you know that He is the one playing the music with that tension. And there's been a lot of tension, a lot of stretching, a lot of compressing. But that is the way that He pulls the beauty, the song that He wants to sing out of this congregation and this people. And it's His message. It's His breath. It's the breath of the Spirit. And when you speak, you open your mouth. It says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. The Lord told his disciples, when you stand before the rulers and authorities, don't worry about what you're going to say. At that time, you will be given what to say. And I believe that there is a governmental anointing on this congregation, not because of maybe the history of this place. This is just the Lord's design. The Lord has called many of you to speak into people of influence in this area, that there would be change and there would be his kingdom established in this area. So be encouraged, whatever that looks like. And it could be over coffee. It could be in a courtroom. It does not matter. You're doing the Lord's will. You're doing the Lord's work. And I want to speak to those of you who are intercessors. I just want to say that your role in praying for these things to come to pass is so, so crucial and critical. And the Lord wants to affirm that the yes in your heart that you've prayed all these years, these things, the Lord wants you to know he is saying yes back to you in the way that you have stood in the gap, in the way that you have prayed and not given up. It says, you know, it talks about the widow. She prayed and she did not give up. And the unjust judge rendered on her behalf. How much more will the kind, powerful Father render judgments on your behalf as you cry out? I really believe that the Lord wants to establish those three things this morning. First, that you are dearly beloved, you are loved. Number two, that Isaiah 61 is yours, that you are empowered to preach the good news. And number three, there's four things. Number three, there's angelic help waiting to empower the word that comes from this place. And number four, for the intercessors to not be discouraged, to know that your prayers are powerful, that your prayers have effect, that your prayers are righteous before him. Whew. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So I want to pray over y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we're so grateful, Lord, that it is your word that prevails. I think of Joseph in the prison, and you gave him a word when he was young. And then there was years and years and years and years and years of the opposite happening. Prison. Accusation, being stripped of the cloak that was the sign of the promise, being betrayed by friends. But the word of the Lord proved him true. And in the end, your word came to pass. And I thank you, Lord, that though it tarry, your word will come to pass. And in its time, you will accomplish it suddenly. So I pray, Lord, for this precious congregation, that your word, whatever you chose to pull from these things that were shared and plant them like a seed in the heart, that encouragement and strength would come. And I see clouds of rain ahead. I believe that there's going to be showers that water this ground yet again. I know that there's been a season of snow and rain in the natural. But I believe that there is yet to come a shift and a change, even in the natural weather systems, that bring even the unbelievers to an awareness that God is God. Lord, I thank you for the empowering of your Spirit, the angelic help. I thank you, Lord, for the belovedness of this precious community. And Lord, I just, right now, I pray that you would, in the Spirit, cut any ties that are not from you to past things in this church that would hinder this church from taking the next step with you. Lord, that whatever has been would be given back to you and say, Lord, from you and through you are all things. And that you would, as a father, reach out your hand and give the gift for this season. And that the hands here would be empty and not filled with other things so that they can receive the good gift. They can receive the next, the new. So Lord, in this Spirit, may these cords be cut. May these ties be severed so that this church leans on you alone. Not on the wisdom of man, not on the strength of man, not on the provision of man, but leans on you alone, and that you would be the Father. And that this whole congregation could say, turn up to you and say, be it done unto us according to your word. And Lord, I thank you for cutting off words of accusation in Jesus' name, that you have surrounded this community with angels, angelic help. Lord, and I bless this fellowship. I bless this community. Lord, and I thank you that it is your word that prevails. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Wasn't that so good? Come on, that was amazing. I threw a curveball at David, and I asked him to do something mid prayer. I just threw him a text, but there was a song that he wrote last summer called "Here on the Mountain," and I felt like it's for us, and he got to sing it in Bishop during our worship time, and it was amazing. But I just felt like it would be so prophetic and significant to sing it right here on the mountain. And so if you could just stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you, and we receive it into our spirits and into our hearts, Lord. And we just say yes and amen to what you are doing, to what you are saying, to the word of the Lord, to Isaiah 61 over our lives, over this church. We say yes and amen. So be it. Yeah, we love you. We worship you. We honor you. Let's just extend your hands to the Lord and allow this song to be your song. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the message, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we are here on this mountain, and this is the desire of our heart. We want to see your face. We want to know you more intimately, King Jesus. And we want to make your heart known to the world. Father, I just pray for your grace over every person in this room. Lord, I pray for fresh encounters of your love, of your goodness. Lord, just the Father's embrace. Lord, for those that have never experienced the hug of a good, good Father, I just pray that they would experience that before leaving this room. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you are so faithful. You are so good. And I thank you, Lord, for this word today. I thank you for just stirring up our spirits, stirring us up, God, and removing any complacency, Lord, any lukewarm Christianity out of us in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, and I just pray you would seal this word in each and every one of our hearts and spirits. Seal it in this church, Lord. May it bear much fruit in Church of the Mountain and in the Eastern Sierras. We give you the glory and the praise, and we thank you in Jesus' holy name. And everybody that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Awesome. Wasn't that so good? Come on, David. Rocking us. Well, God bless you. Hug some necks and buy some raffle tickets. And God is good. We'll see you at 6 p.m. tonight. Invite a friend. Let's just fill it up and worship Jesus together. If you need prayer, come on up.